ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ
ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ಮದ.
ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಯು ಟರ್ನ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮೈಕ್ರೋಫೋನ್ ಹೂಮ್ಸ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಪಾದ 3. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯ ಅಧಿಕರಣ. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯಂ ಚೋದನಾದ್ಯ ವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ಭೇದಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನೈಕಸ್ಯಾಮಪಿ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯಸ್ಯ ತತಾತ್ವೇ ನಹಿ ಸಮಾಚಾರೇ ಅಧಿಕಾರಶ್ಚ ಸಮವಚ್ಚತ ನಿಯಮಃ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ ಚ. ಉಪಸಂಹಾರಾಧಿಕರಣ. ಉಪಸಂಹಾರಃ ಅರ್ಥಭೇದಾದ್ ವಿಧಿಶೇಷವತ್ ಸಮಾನೇ ಚ. ಅನ್ಯತಾತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣ. ಅನ್ಯತಾತ್ವಂ ಶಬ್ದಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಅವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ನ ವಾ ಪ್ರಕರಣಭೇದಾದ್ ಪರೋವರಿಯಸ್ತ್ವಾದಿವತ್ ಸಂಜ್ಞಾನಶ್ಚೇತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ ಅಸ್ತಿ ತು ತದಪಿ. ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತೇಶ್ಚ ಸಮಂಜಸಂ. ಸರ್ವಾಭೇದಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸರ್ವಾಭೇದಾದ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ರೇಮೇ. ಆನಂದಾಧ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆನಂದಾದಯಃ ಪ್ರಧಾನಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯಶಿರಸ್ತ್ವಾದಿ ಅಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿಃ ಉಪಚಯ ಅಪಚಯೌ ಹಿ ಭೇದೇ ಇತರೇ ತು ಅರ್ಥಸಾಮಾನ್ಯಾತ್. ಆಧ್ಯಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆಧ್ಯಾನಾಯ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನ ಅಭಾವಾತ್ ಆತ್ಮಶಬ್ದಾಚ್ಚ. ಆತ್ಮಗೃಹೀತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆತ್ಮಗೃಹೀತಿಃ ಇತರವತ್ ಉತ್ತರಾತ್ ಅನ್ವಯಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಅವಧಾರಣಾತ್. ಕಾರ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಕಾರ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನಾತ್ ಅಪೂರ್ವಂ. ಸಮಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಮಾನ ಏವಂಚ ಅಭೇದಾತ್. ಸಂಬಂಧಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಂಬಂಧಾದೇವಂ ಅನ್ಯತ್ರಾಪಿ ನವಾವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ ಚ. ಸಂಹೃದ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಂಹೃತಿಃ ದ್ಯು ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತಿಃ ಅಪಿ ಚ ಅತಃ. ಪುರುಷವಿದ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಪುರುಷವಿದ್ಯಾಯಾಮಿ ವಚೇತ್ ಇತರೇಷಾಂ ಅನಾಂ ನಾನಾತ್. ವೇದಾಧ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ವೇದಾದಿ ಅರ್ಥಭೇದಾದ್ ಹನ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಹಾನೌ ತು ಉಪಾಯನ ಶಬ್ದಶೇಷತ್ವಾತ್ ಕುಶ ಛಂತ ಸ್ತುತಿ ಉಪಗಾನವತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ. ಸಾಂಪರಾಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಾಂಪರಾಯೇ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಾಭಾವಾತ್ ತಥಾಹ್ಯನ್ಯೇ ಛಂದದ ಉಭಯ ಅವಿರೋಧಾತ್. ಗತೇಹೆ ಅರ್ಥತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಗತೇಹೆ ಅರ್ಥವತ್ವಂ ಉಭಯತಾ ಅನ್ಯತಾ ಹಿ ವಿರೋಧಃ. ಉಪಪನ್ನಸ್ಥಲ್ಲಕ್ಷಣಾರ್ಥಃ ಉಪಲಬ್ಧೇ ಲೋಕವತ್. ಅನಿಯಮಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅನಿಯಮಃ ಸರ್ವಾಸಾಂ ಅವಿರೋಧಃ ಶಬ್ದ ಅನುಮಾನಾಭ್ಯಾಂ. ಯಾವದಧಿಕಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಯಾವತ್ ಅಧಿಕಾರಂ ಅವಸ್ಥಿತಿಃ ಆಧಿಕಾರಿಕಾಣಾಂ. ಅಕ್ಷರಧ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅಕ್ಷರಧಿಯಾಂ ತು ಅವರೋಧಃ ಸಾಮಾನ್ಯ ತದ್ಭಾವಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಔಪಸದವತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ. ಇಯದಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಇಯದ್ ಆಮನನಾತ್. ಅಂತರತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅಂತರ ಭೂತಗ್ರಾಮವತ್ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಃ. ಅನ್ಯಥಾ ಭೇದಾನುಪಪತ್ತಿಃ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಉಪದೇಶಾಂತರವತ್. ವ್ಯತಿಹಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ವ್ಯತಿಹಾರೋ ವಿಶಿಂಶಂತಿಃ ಇತರವತ್. ಸತ್ಯಾದಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸೈವ ಹಿ ಸತ್ಯಾದಯಃ. ಕಾಮಾಧ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಕಾಮಾದಿ ಇತರತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಚ ಆಯತನಾದಿಭ್ಯಃ. ಆಧಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆಧಾರಾತ್ ಅಲೋಪಃ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇಹೇ ಅತಃ ತದ್ವಚನಾತ್. ತನ್ನಿರ್ಧಾರಣ ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ. ತನ್ನಿರ್ಧಾರಣ ಅನಿಮಯಃ ಅನಿಯಮಃ ತದ್ದೃಷ್ಟೇಹೆ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಅಪ್ರತಿಬಂಧಃ ಫಲಂ. ಪ್ರಧಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. பிரதானவத் ஏவ ததுக்கம் லிங்க பூயஸ்துவ அதிகரணம் லிங்க பூயஸ்துவாத் தத்திபலியா ததபி பூர்வவிகல்பா பிரகரணாத் ஸ்யாத் க்ரியாமானசவத் அதிதேஷ் அதிதேஷாச்ச வித்யைவது நிர்தாரணாத் தர்ஷனாச்ச ஸ்ருத்யாதி பலியா த்வாச்ச ந பாதஹ அனுபந்தாதிபியஹ பிரஜ்ஞாந்தர பிருத்தக் த்வவத் த்ருஷ்டஸ்ய ததுக்தம் ந சாமான்யாதபி உபலப்தேஹே மிருத்யுவன்னாஹி லோகாபத்திஹி லிங்க பூயஸ்த்வ அதிகரணம் பரேணச்ச சப்தஸ்ய தத்வித்யம் பூயத்வாத்வனுபந்தஹாம் பரேணச்ச சப்தஸ்ய தத்வித்யம் பூயஸ்துவாவனுபந்தஹ 52nd சூத்ரா 3rd பாதா 3rd சாப்டர் 411th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா வி ஆர் நவ் என்டரிங் இன் டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சூத்ரா தி லாஸ்ட் சூத்ரா ஆஃப் தி அதிகரணம் 29th அதிகரணம் ஆஃப் 3rd பாதா கால்டு லிங்க பூயஸ்துவ அதிகரணம் அண்ட் இன் திஸ் சூத்ரா வியாசாச்சாரியா கிவ்ஸ் ஒன் மோர் சப்போர்ட் ஃபார் ஹிஸ் கன்க்ளூஷன் namely the fires all the fires the agnis in agni rahasya portion of the brihadaranyaka upanishad they are not part of the karmaanga upasana sacrificial act itself karmaanga but an swatantra vidya independent upasana vidya so the support is purva apara prakaranam these are these things are earlier the sections occurring before this upasana and after the upasana they deal with swatantra upasana only therefore in between also karmaanga upasana cannot come and taking into account of the flow the middle one deals with independent upasana swatantra upasana only aditya mandala purusha upasana meditation upon ishvara as located in the aditya mandalam or solar disk in sandhya vandana karma that we do that is the former topic purva topic which is swatantra upasana and the later section is on agni upasana which is also a swatantra upasana and the swatantra upasana is glorified here the upasakas will go to brahma loka and others will go to lesser lokas and lesser higher lokas and previous and later sections deal with swatantra upasana and therefore the middle also should be swatantra upasana only and if that is so why should it discuss jyotishtoma karma which is proximate to the karmaanga upasana was the question and that leads us to a doubt whether it is swatantra upasana or not for that vyasacharya says nearby proximity there is proximity of karma only because in this particular upasana various functions of organs are visualized as various accessories of karma as in Shiva Manasa Puja which I mentioned all that thing in the last class so the visualization involves there is a manasa agni the visualization involves the accessories there is mention of lot of ritualistic components so many things that are used in the yajna therefore this upasana is only a swatantra upasana we saw up to this in the last class now we will do the word analysis of the sutra parena cha shabdasya tad vidyam பூயத்வாத்வனுபந்தா தட் இஸ் அ சூத்ரா தத் வித்யம் மீன்ஸ் சச் அ நேச்சர் சப்தஸ்ய சப்தஸ்ய மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி ப்ரெசன்ட் டெக்ஸ்ட் தட் இஸ் நோன் இட் இஸ் நோன் வி ஹவ் டு சப்ளை ஃபார் ரெஃபர் டு தி வேத மந்திர ஸ்ருதி பரேண ச பை அப்சர்விங் த லேட்டர் பரேண த லேட்டர் அப்சர்விங் த லேட்டர் அண்ட் த ஃபார்மர் செக்ஷன் வி ஹவ் டு சப்ளை பூர்வ அண்ட் அப்பர ஸோ தூ மீன்ஸ் ஹவர் அண்ட் அனுபந்தா its connection with the ritualistic fire the yajna and bhuyastva means is because of the abundance of the attributes of the ritualistic fire in the visualized fire also in the manasa agni also so this is the running meaning now let us see the significance of the words tad vidyam means of such a nature here such a nature means the upasana being swatantra upasana independent nature of the upasana it is not a karmaanga upasana the upasana is independent is known because of the former section the Purva section. Purva section is what? Meditation upon Ishvara as located in the solar disk in the Sandhyavandana mantra that we alluded to. That is the former topic, which is the Swatantra Upasana. And the chair represents the later section. So the independent nature of the middle section is understood. And Bhuyastvat means abundance of common features between the ritualistic fire and the visualized fire. The actual fire used in the ritual and the internal fires, that is the manasa. The common features are many. One is surrounded by ritualistic accessories like various Homa vessels, Homa Kunda, various oblations, all of them. Various attributes are there for the actual fire. And the various connected accessories in the mentally visualized fire also, they are all there. Visualization of the Homa Kunda is there. Various patras, the vessels, they are all there in the visualized fire also. And therefore, many accessories are there in both the cases. And therefore, it is in the proximity of Jyotishtoma Yaga as in the Manasa Puja. Jyotishtoma Yaga, actual Yaga have all the accessories. In the Manasa Agni also, visualized fire also, all of them are there. So it is proximity is given. So abundance of attributes are seen in both fires, the actual fire and the visualized fire. Therefore, it is in proximity of karma. Karma referred to in the Jyotishtoma Yaga. And Anubandha means closeness. Closeness of what? Closeness of Jyotishtoma karma portion. Not because of karma ga upasana, but because many karma accessories are visualized. We should be careful. Jyotishtoka domains is not a primary karma and all these things are all karma ga upasana. It is not so, but independent only. But the proximity is because many karma accessories are visualized. Totally, Vyasacharya gives 5 arguments that we also saw in the last class, such as the Shruti, Linga, Vakya, Anubandha, and Purvapara Vichara. All those we saw in the last class. On the basis of these arguments, the one under discussion is a Swatantra Upasana only, independent Upasana only. Not a Karmanga Upasana alluded to with the Jyotishtoma Yaga. And these are all definitely not very relevant to us because the Vedic Upasanas have been replaced by Pauranika. All these Puranic Upasanas these days. And therefore, during Veda Vyasa's time, Vedic Upasanas must have been very popular. And therefore, these doubts might have been there at that time. Now, we won't have any such doubts at all because all these Veda Upasanas are all now replaced by Puranic Upasanas. And that because of that, Vyasacharya had to clarify them at that time. With this Adhikaranam is also over. Now, let us see the next Adhikaranam. Adhikaranam number 30, Aikatmya Adhikaranam. It has 2 sutras, 53 and 54. Eka Atmanaha Sharire Bhavat. Eka Atmanaha Sharire Bhavat. 53rd sutra, 53rd, 3rd pada, 3rd chapter, 412th running Brahma Sutra. And in this Adhikaranam, existence of an Atman apart from body is taken up for discussion. Existence of Atman apart from the body is taken for discussion. Unless there is an Atma apart from the body, there is no use of the scriptures teaching liberation. That should be clear. Nor can there be any scope for ethical commands, dharmic commands, all those things referred to in the various disciplines, which are the means of attainment of heaven for liberation, or for the teaching that the Atma is Brahman. So whether it is Brahma Vidya or even to reach higher lokas, all those things, those commandments are not necessary. If this particular thing is not understood, that is Atma is different from the body. First, let us give a general introduction to this Adhikarana with 2 sutras, 53 and 54. Here, the subject matter is an incidental subject. It is not very much in the flow of topic. The topic is there Atma different from the body at all or not, is the question. This is a fundamental question. After coming to 400 Brahma Sutras, one should not have that question. But this is a side topic, fundamental doubt. So the karma, upasana, and all those things, they are all supposed to take the jiva to moksha or krama mukti, not jiva mukti, Vikramam. Vikrama and all will give Chitta Shuddhi, through which you get Chitta Ekagrata and all that thing one has to practice. Then Shravanam, Mananam, Vidyasanam, one can get Jivan Mukti or Krama Mukti, depending on the case. And all these are based on the assumption that Atma is different from the body. Upasana will take a person to Brahmaloka through Shuklagati, all that we have seen. And from there, the person will gain liberation through Krama Mukti. Therefore, Vyasacharya introduces here the Charvaka Matam of the Purvapakshi. So the Purvapakshi here is a person who is following the Charvaka Matam and negate the Charvaka Matam. Vyasacharya negates the Charvaka Matam, the materialistic philosophy, who claim that body alone is the Atma. There is no Atma separate from the body. Body alone is the Atma, they claim. Charvakas believe in Atma, but the meaning of Atma, according to them, is different from the meaning that we understand as Vedantins. He says, Atma is nothing but the body. Atma means sentient body. According to them, Atma means sentient body. When body is born, Atma is born. And when the body is gone, Atma is gone also, according to them. He does not accept Sukshma Shariram in the body, mind in the body. Other than brain, he does not believe in the mind and all those who? Charvakas. We say mind and Sukshma Shariram survive after death. That is what the Vedantin says. At the death of the physical body, mind, Sukshma Shariram, they are alive and they travel, all that we say. Whereas he says that there is no Atma other than the body. He does not believe in Shraddha and all those things, no ancestral lives, rights, none of those. And in this Adhikaranam, the first sutra refers to Purvapaksha and the second sutra refers to Siddhanta. And our Siddhantin's view is, what is his view? There is Atma, which is different from the body. This is the topic of this Adhikaranam. Now the question then comes, why should Vyasacharya discuss this in the Vedanta Sutras and not in the Veda Purva Bhaga itself? Belief in Atma being different from the body is required in the Karma Kanda. And why is it brought to Jnana Kanda in the Brahma Sutras here? And Shankaracharya says it is necessary in the Veda Purva Bhaga, correct? And commentators have established that Atma is different from the body. But there is no direct Jaimini Sutra to establish that. Because Purva Mimamsa Sutras, we should also make sure that we are now aligned, either refuting or supporting, or because that was also very prevalent at those days. So it is indirectly hinted and is taken for granted that body is different from Atma. It is only indirectly hinted. And there is a Sabara Bhashyam we have mentioned earlier, the Sabara Bhashyam on Purva Mimamsa of Jaimini Sutras. So Sabara Bhashyam, that establishes this fact. However, Jaimini Sutra is silent about it. It doesn't say, even though the Bhashyakara, Sabara Bhashyam, that mentions about it, Jaimini Sutra itself is silent about it. That is why Vyasacharya has chosen to establish this fact. Therefore, this sutra is added here. So I just only want to bring up the context why such a sutra should be in this place. This is the general introduction to this Adhikaranam. Now let us give the general analysis of this sutra. Here the Purvapakshi argues that there is no Atma different from the body. There is no Atma different from the body. And they say that Atma is the body. And they do not say that there is no Atma in the body. They say Atma is the body. In support of that, they give an argument also. As long as the body is there, there is the selfhood that claims I am the body. As long as the body is there, there is this selfhood that claims I am the body. There is the transacting self that claims individuality and that transacts with the world. And when the body is gone, there is none to claim that I am. When the body is gone, there is none to claim that I am. But after the body is gone, as I told, there is none to claim I am. In fact, it is total destruction of the whole thing according to them. When the body is, the I concept of Atma is there. When the body is there, the I concept, the I means capital I, the I concept of Atma is there. And when the body is gone, the very I concept itself is gone. The body is a live being as long as Atma is there. And when the body is gone, the live being is also gone. Therefore, Purvapakshi concludes that the body is Atma. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us do the word analysis of the sutra. The sutra is Eka Atmanaha Sharire Bhavat. Eka means some people negate the independent existence of Atma that we have to supply. So some people, okay, they negate the independent existence of Atma is the we have to supply Atmanaha of the self. Independent existence of the self, some people negate. Bhavat. Bhavat means because it exists. Where? Sharire. Only when the body exists. That is, what is the meaning now? Some people negate the independent existence of the Atma because it exists only when the body exists. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Eke. Eke refers to some philosophers, and here particularly the Charvaka philosopher or the materialistic philosophers, and actually most are Astika philosophers only. All others. Among the 12 darshanas, even Jaina darshanam says there is Atma other than the body. So of the 12 darshanas that we have seen long ago, we have seen earlier, 11 believe in Atma other than the body. 11 of them, except the Charvakas. Atmanaha means Deha Vyatirikta Atma, the Atma separate from the body, the existence of that they negate, Charvakas. And what is their logic? When body is Atma is. When body is not, Atma is not, according to them. So this Vyatireka logic is not given here though. When body is absent, there is no live transacting individual with the I concept, as I mentioned, I capital I concept. So this is Purvapaksha's argument, negating the existence of Atma. And the answer is given in the next sutra that we will see. So the first sutra is a Purvapaksha Sutra. Adhikaranam 30th. Aikhatmya Adhikaranam. And this is the second sutra we are going to read now. Vyatirekaha tad bhava abhavitvad natu upalabdhivat. Vyatirekaha tad bhava abhavitvad natu upalabdhivat. 54th Sutra, 3rd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 413th Running Brahma Sutra. So the statement in the previous preceding sutra is refuted here by Vyasacharya. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya replies, the main part of the reply actually is, your Anvaya Vyatireka logic is defective. To whom he says? To the Charvaka, to the Purvapakshi. Your Anvaya Vyatireka logic is defective. And Shankaracharya gives a few additional arguments also. And Vyasacharya says, this can be discussed by taking the word consciousness. And it is better to ask whether there is consciousness different from the body or not. And Vyasacharya asks Charvaka whether there is consciousness different from the body or not. And the Purvapakshi uses the word Atma. Vyasacharya reduces to consciousness and all that thing. So Charvaka says, there is no independent consciousness at all, independent Atma at all. There is no consciousness separate from the body, and there is no consciousness separate from the matter according to them. Like some modern scientists also saying that consciousness is the property and it is generated by the combination of matter, even today scientists believe. And because of the Panchabhuta Sanyogaha, combination of the Panchabhutas, five elements, Atma comes into being. And he believes only in Pratyaksha Pramana, who Charvakas. So Bhuta Samyogate Chaitanyam Jayate. And this generated consciousness by the association of the various elements is the property that matters. So they give the example, like for example, a person eat betel nuts, you know, pond. And when you eat betel nut leaves, they are the leaves are green in color, and they apply lime to that, that is white in color, and the nut, betel nut itself is brown in color, and all of them join in the mouth, and what you get? You get reddishness. So red color is neither in the betel nut or the leaves or in the lime. Yet you get reddish color when the three are combined in the mouth. Likewise, there is no independent consciousness at all, is the view of Charvaka, combination of all these five elements and all lead to that. And Vyasacharya says that this argument has got logical fallacy and therefore it is not correct. This is an incidental topic, as I mentioned, an aside topic away from the main topic of Guna Upasamhara. We should not forget that. We are in the third chapter, third pada. This entire thing talks about Guna Upasamhara. It is an aside topic for the flow of our discussion though. So while teaching, actually when Vyasacharya and all these teachers, when they teach, the teacher or the author, he remembers some particular idea, let us say. And the teacher, before communicating it to the student, he has tremendous mind control because he wants to tell that it is there in the mind, but he should be able to quickly decide as what he should tell while he teaches the student itself in situ. He should ask whether the topic goes with the flow of the topic, or he should immediately censor it and cut it off because it may cause confusion otherwise. This control is needed particularly for the teacher, not the student. Sometimes he takes it that the topic is needed and it cannot be given up, as the aside topic will help during the course of his future teaching, as the topic is important, although it is not required for the flow right now. So it is like a placeholder. Similarly, Vyasacharya teaches Upasana topic, and the Upasaka travels after the fall of the body. That all we know. Sukshma Shariram traveling and all that thing we know. So they either go to the higher lokas and fall or attain Krama Mukti, all those things. They go to all that. Suddenly, Vyasacharya remembers that all the topics are relevant only when you accept the Jivatma, which is different from the body. And this is taken for granted throughout the pada. So Vyasacharya suddenly remembers it is taken for granted. So he feels that this should not be taken for granted and has therefore has included it here and stresses that Atma is different from the body. Vyasacharya might have felt that there is a Charvaka perhaps going through the Brahma Sutras at that time itself. And hence he makes it clear that Atma is different from the body. Here the Purva Paksha was given in Sutra 53rd, the last Sutra that we just read. He says, I am the body and body is the Atma. And in the Sutra, Anvaya logic is given and Vyatireka logic we have to supply. That is, in the presence of the body, there is I, the Atma, the live individual. And in the absence of the body, there is no live individual. So this is the Vyatireka logic. In the presence of the body, there is I, that is the Anvaya logic. And the Punya Papas, all this Punya, Papa, life after death, all those things have no relevance according to Charvakas, the materialist philosophers. They even accuse that they are cock and bull story kind of thing, invented by the Brahmins to earn money and all that thing also. We have mentioned it also in some other context long ago. The answer is given in the Sutra 54, Sutra number 54. And Vyasacharya says, let us leave the Atma alone. Because with regard to the definition of Atma, there are so many philosophers who have different views. And Vyasacharya takes the example of something which is more relevant. The example that Vyasacharya has taken is in the place of Atma is Upalabdhi. In place of Atma, he takes the word Upalabdhi. Upalabdhi means the consciousness. Therefore, Vyasacharya addresses, actually cognition, the consciousness. Therefore, Vyasacharya addresses the Charvaka and asks, what is your view with respect to the consciousness principle? He is asking the Charvaka, what is your view with respect to the consciousness principle? And he says, the view is exactly the same as that of Atma. That means there is consciousness separate from the body. Charvaka does not believe in independent consciousness because of the Anvaya Vyatireka logic as mentioned above. And body is there, Atma is there, body is absent, Atma is not. So that is the logic he presented earlier. When the body is, consciousness is, and when the body is gone, consciousness is gone. Therefore, there is no consciousness other than the body. And he also further says that consciousness is a product of matter. And after being produced, it remains as a property of matter also. So when matter is in particular configuration, consciousness is generated. And many scientists also, they hold this view. It is a phenomenon, they say. Now Vyasacharya wants to point out that this reasoning is fallacious. First, with respect to consciousness, we will prove this reasoning is wrong. And if reasoning is wrong, the conclusion is also wrong. And Vyasacharya mentions only one logical defect, whereas Shankaracharya gives many more logical defects also. The five doshas mentioned by him are, number one, Anvaya dosha, then Vyatireka dosha, Yukti virodha dosha, Anubhava virodha dosha, and Karma kartru virodha dosha. So these are the five doshas, Anvaya dosha, Vyatireka dosha, Yukti virodha dosha, Anubhava virodha dosha, Karma kartru virodha dosha. We will see each one. First, Vyasacharya himself, in his sutra, he gives one. Charvaka said that there is Anvaya and Vyatireka. Anvaya is co-presence. Body is, Atma is. When body is present, Atma is present. That is co-presence. And Vyatireka means co-absence. When body is not, Atma is not. So that is Anvaya Vyatireka. First, we will take up the simultaneous presence of both. When body is, Atma is. Charvaka says, whenever there is body, there is consciousness. There is a dead body, for example, which is sharira bhavaha, but we don't experience consciousness in a dead body. That is, this is there, dead body is there, no consciousness. Shariram is there, but chaitanyam in the form of sentiency is not there. In dead body, your anvaya fails. When body is, consciousness is, that fails right there. Now let us go to the second argument, Vyatireka. He says, sharira abhave chaitanya abhavaha. When body is not there, chaitanyam is not there. So in the absence of the body, there is absence of consciousness. That is a Vyatireka logic. How do you say that? Charvaka answers that I don't experience consciousness when body is dissolved. Then Shankaracharya argues, non-experience of something is not the absence of that thing. If something is not experienced by you, that does not mean it is absent. Non-experience does not prove non-existence. The non-experience can be due to two reasons. One is what? One is the very non-existence itself. It is not there. Non-existence may be one reason. And there can be another reason also, namely, it is existent, but there is no condition for its experience. There is no instrument. The instrument is inadequate, or the condition for experience is absent. These are all various other reasons where you can also feel, you can also not experience it. Here there are, for example, electromagnetic waves are there everywhere, in all around. A radio or a TV has to be tuned to the proper frequencies, then you are able to hear the music and other programs. So the waves exist, but our instruments are incapable of experiencing the music without the aid of a TV tuner or a radio tuner. I cannot say microwave is absent, but I don't experience because of the inadequacy of the instrument. There should be conditions for experience. So this is, for example, prakasha. Prakasha means, normally we say light, surya prakasha, chandra prakasha. Here it is electric prakasha in presence of electricity. You should have, there should be experience. So can I conclude that there is nothing then? Non-experience of people is non-existence of people or not. Therefore, after the fall of the body, you cannot conclude that the consciousness is absent, but you may have a doubt that consciousness may not be there. You cannot conclude it is absent. You may have a doubt though. To say it is not there is fallacious. For that I will say consciousness may be present also. You cannot negate that consciousness is not there. If you negate, it is not correct. If he argues that, I cannot assert the absence of consciousness also. And you cannot assert the presence of consciousness also. So it is because you have no logic to prove the existence of consciousness. Then Vedantins say, we agree, we cannot logically assert the presence of consciousness, and at the same time, you cannot prove the absence of consciousness also. We can only say, it may be or it may not. Since logically it cannot be proved, then we come to where? To the Shastras. What cannot be proved by logic, you come to Shastras back again. Here, our aim is to show that if Charvaka says that the non-existence of Chaitanya, if he says, talks about non-existence of Chaitanya, we say it is fallacious. Non-experience is not non-existence. And we have Pramanam for that. And the third argument is Yukti Virodha. Yukti Virodha, our experience, shows that the very object, every object that I experience outside are all inert in nature. Whatever object I experience outside, they are all inert in nature. All the external world of objects, they are all inert in nature. This is the generalization I derive from experience. And if you extend that, the body is also a pancha indriya vishayam. It's also a product of the panjam, for pancha indriyas, for object of all the vishayas, indriya vishaya. Therefore, our conclusion must be dehaha jadaha drishyatvatim ghatavate. All this we have seen earlier. So consciousness cannot be part or property of the body, and it goes against the vyapti. Vyapti means generalization. Not only that, drishyam dehaha jadaha bhautikatim ghatavate. Because it is bhautika, ghatavate, like part. So it is product of the matter, like a part. And that being so, if you conclude that body alone is bhautikam and it is chetanam, if you say, it is against the norms and it is yukti virodha. Body alone is bhautikam and is also chetanam, if you say, it's not correct because bhautikam are all inert, yes, the external world of objects. So it is yukti virodha. And the fourth one is anubhava virodha. Body is experienced. It means, that means what? It is the property of the body is also experienced by us. Body is experienced means it is the property of the body is also experienced by us. It is our anubhava. Shabda, rupa of body, they are all experienced. If all the properties are, they are all indriya vishayas, they should be experienced. Chaitanyam also would have been indriya vishayam. If chaitanyam is also a property of the body. But with my sense organs, I experience all the properties of the body and I don't see any extra property in the form of Chaitanyam at all. All my sense organs experience the respective vishayas. With respect to Chaitanyam, I don't have any particular sense organ to visualize that. I don't experience consciousness too. I don't see any difference between your body and the chair and your body and your carpet and all that thing. All are inert. If Chaitanyam were the property, I would experience, but I don't. And the fifth one also, there is experience virodha, that is, and then anubhava virodha. And the fifth one is karma kartru virodha. If I have to experience an object, the object must be different from the subject and also be away from the subject. If I have to experience an object, the object must be different from the subject and also be away from the subject. A subject can never experience itself. Just as the eyes can never perceive itself. To perceive itself, the eye should be away and be different. This we extend to perceiving power and property of the eye also. The eye has got perceiving property. Our physical eye has got the perceiving property. The perceiving property of the eye can perceive every object, but it cannot perceive itself. Or the substance eye upon which the property is resting. It cannot perceive that. Now the property has the perceiving power. So perceiving property can objectify everything but two things. What are the two things? One is perceiving property itself. It cannot perceive, and also the substance upon which the property is resting. That is its own ashraya, its own locus. Perceiving property resides in the locus I. Cannot directly perceive that. Guna cannot objectify its own ashraya gunam also. So guna cannot objectify its dravyam, substance. Dravyam, the substance, cannot be separated from guna and place it in front for the purpose of perceiving. You cannot separate it. The perceiving guna, you cannot separate from the I, keep it separately and try to perceive. It cannot be objectified. Chaitanyam becomes gunaha, and the locus, substance, steam, body. And Shankaracharya says, if consciousness is a property located on body, then consciousness will be able to objectify everything except consciousness itself by rule number one. Guna cannot objectify guna. We already saw that. That is the first rule. And consciousness cannot objectify its own locus. What is that? Namely, body also. Then by rule number two, your consciousness will never be able to objectify your own body, which means you will not experience your body. So every time one has to tell, your body is fat, your body is weak, all that, somebody has to tell. You cannot definitely be able to perceive that. That's a foolish logic then. And then consciousness is a property, and property objectifying its own substance is fallacious. It is kartra karma virodha doshaha. Fifth defect in the Charvaka Mata. So consciousness cannot be the property of the body. Therefore, consciousness must be separate from the body. And this we confirm with Shastra Pramana. And it says, jnanam is eternal by saying satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That's what Shruti says. Then Charvaka may ask, how consciousness is not experienced when the body is dead? Right? Why it is not experienced? The body is dead. The body is consciousness there all the time, but it's not experienced. Body is dead. Our argument is that the medium for experience is not there. Not that consciousness is not there. Chaitanyam is there. But the medium to experience, namely the body, is gone. Surya Prakasha can be experienced only when the medium is there. This is the general analysis of this sutra. And once I have established Chaitanyam as different from the body, then I can say this Chaitanyam is called Atma, and it is the real meaning of I. And therefore, Atma is different from the body. Body is not the capital I, Chaitanyam is. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. Vetirekas tad bhava bhavitvat natu upalabdhivat. Natu means it is never so. Upalabdhivat, like the consciousness. Upalabdhi here refers to consciousness. Vetirekaha means Atma is different. Different from what? From the body. That is Vetireka. Sharira Vetirikta Atma. So, tat bhava abhavitvat. Since its expressions, bhava, are, whether its expressions are absence, or even when the body is present, its expressions are absent even when the body is present. That is after death. After death. When the body is present, it's after death. This is the general meaning of the sutra. Now let us see the significance of the words. Vetirekaha tad bhava bhavitvat natum upalabdhivate. Let us see the significance of the words. And we should take na and tu together. Natu. And it means Purvapakshi is never correct. Natu. Charvaka is never correct. Here Purvapakshi is who? Is Charvaka. He is never correct. But who says what? Atma is never different from the body, according to him. Vetirekaha means different. Body is different from Atma is his that thing he doesn't understand. He says body is same as Atma. Tad bhava abhavitvat. Reason for that is incorrectness of Purvapaksha or fallacy of Purvapakshi's reason. He says that only when the body is there, Atma is. This is the logic given by Charvaka, which is said to be incorrect in this sutra. And Vyasacharya says, in the dead body, Shariram is there, that is body. but life sentiency is not there. Expressions of Atma is absent. Hence, your Anvaya is not correct. Anvaya is what? Coexistence. So, Upalabdhivate, like consciousness. Whatever reason we can give to show that consciousness is different from the body can be extended to Atma as different from the body. The logic for Chaitanyam can be extended to Atma also. Sentiency can be extended to Atma also. Just as Chaitanyam is different from the body, Atma is different from the body. Angava Baddhadikaranam, next Adhikaranam, 31st topic. Angava Baddhadikaranam. Angava Baddhastu na Shakasu hi Prativedam is the sutra. Angava Baddhastu na Shakasu hi Prativedam. 55th sutra, 3rd Pada, 3rd chapter, 414th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us give a general introduction to this Adhikarana with two sutras, 55 and 56. And now we are going to revert to Upasana portion. And the subject matter here is Karmanga Upasanas. It means when a big ritual is performed, as part of the ritual, certain meditations are prescribed, for which certain alambanams are prescribed. Alambanams are, you know, the mediums and all. Using the symbol. Shivalinga is, for example, the symbol, alambanam, for Lord Shiva, Shiva Upasana. Shaligramam is the alambanam, the symbol for Vishnu Upasana. Fire becomes the alambanam, for example, Nachiketas Upasana. Karmanga Upasana is the in the Nachiketas ritual. And Virat Upasana, and so Virat in Virat Upasana, all those things, they all become symbols. So therefore, these upasanas are called Anga Ashrita Upasanas. Anga Ashrita Upasanas based on any part of the ritual, any part Anga, any part of the ritual, these are Anga Ashrita Upasana. Sometimes the ritualistic fire is used as Alambanam and sometimes mantras are used as Alambanam. For example, the best example we have already seen many times is in Chandogya Upanishad, the Udgita Upasana. The first mantra, first chapter, first section. Om iti etat aksharam udgitam upasita. Om iti hi udgayati tasya upavyakhyana. So may you meditate upon the udgita, which is nothing but omkara. So that is omkara upasana, udgita upasana. Omkara, which is musically chanted, is called udgita. And we have seen this, some of this analysis earlier. Rigveda Omkara is not called Udgita. Should be careful. Om is there in Rigveda also, but that Rigveda Omkara is not Udgita. It has to be loudly chanted. During the ritual, Omkara has to be chanted, which is taken as the Alambanam. Omkara itself is taken as the Alambanam. Therefore, Udgita is taken as Angam. And each Upasana is called Anga Alambana Upasana. And the various deities to be invoked and the varieties of natural forces are invoked with the Alambanam of Udgita as a part of a ritual. This is subject matter for analysis. And the debate here is what controversy? This Udgita Alambana Upasana is given in Chandogya Upanishad. It belongs to which Veda? Samaveda, which has got several branches. And one and the same Veda has got several branches are called Shakas. So many schools. They say that originally the four Vedas put together had 1,131 shakas or branches, of which only 10 or 11 survived today. Originally there was supposed to be Rigveda has 21 shakas, Yajurveda had 101 shakas, Samaveda had 1,000 shakas, and Atharana Veda had 9 shakas, all put together 1,131 shakas. Only 10 or 11 are remaining today. In Kautuma Shaka of Samaveda, there also Udgita comes. So Udgita mantra comes as a part of several branches of Samaveda itself. And the doubt here is what? The Udgita Ashrita Upasana is relevant to one Shaka of Samaveda, or when the Udgita mantra comes in other branches of Samaveda also, it is relevant. That is the question. So Purvapakshi says, Anga Upasanas are to be practiced only in one shaka because scripture mentioned mentions it in only one, that shaka only. So he says it should be shaka specific according to Purvapakshi. So Purvapakshi matam restricts anga ashraya to one shaka only. It restricts it. So sannidhana pramanam, see, this is called sannidhi pramanam. So or the sthana pramanam, it restricts the place where it is located, restricts anga ashraya upasana to a particular shaka only. And Siddhanta says no, and says anga ashraya upasana can be extended to other shakas of Samaveda also. Now let us come to the general analysis of the first sutra. Here Vyasacharya only makes a statement that anga ashraya upasana is not restricted to one branch only, and it can be extended to other branches of Samaveda also. And Vyasacharya does not give his reason for this, and Shankaracharya gives valid reason. The reason is Shruti Pramana. Shankaracharya always derives his reasoning through Shruti. Shruti uses the word Udgita, and it does not restrict the Udgitam to that particular shaka. Udgita in general is Alambana, in general. Shruti says it is general rule. Wherever Udgitam comes, it can be used. And Shankaracharya says the Shruti Pramana is stronger than the Sthana Pramana or the Sannidhi Pramana. And concludes that Omkara Upasana can be extended to other branches of Samaveda also. Now let us go to the word analysis of the sutra. Angava Baddhastu na Shakasu hi Prativedam. So Angava Baddha means meditations on factors connected with rituals, Angas, various rituals. Na Shakasu tu are not restricted to the particular branch, Shaka. Prativedam, in the particular Veda only. Prativedam means in the particular Veda only, Samaveda here. He means because the basic injunction is general. It is a general injunction. Now let us go to the significance of the words. Angava Baddha means meditation based on Anga, an accessory of the ritual, Angam, organ of the ritual. Upon that Upasana is done. Na Shakasu. Shakasu means they are not restricted to a particular Shaka branch of Veda. And the word he, that indicates, because Vedic injunction in general, talks about Vedic injunction is general there. So we already recited the first mantra, first section, first chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, where such restriction is not given, Udgita Upasana. Prati Veda means every Veda. Now let us go to the next sutra of this Adhikarana. Mantradi Vadva Virodha. 56th sutra, third chapter, third pada, 415th running Brahma Sutra. First let us do general analysis. Siddhanta says that Shruti Pramana is in our support only, that it cancels the contradicting Sthana Pramana, Sannidhi Pramana that we mentioned earlier. This is the content of the previous sutra. While answering the previous sutra, we accepted the Sannidhi Pramana at that time. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, Sannidhi Pramana, Sthana Pramana, Virodha Pramana is not there at all. There is no Pramana against the Sannidhi Pramana, Sthana Pramana. Previously overruled the dosha, and now we are saying there is no dosha at all. For this, Vyasacharya gives a technical answer. There are many examples where one mantra is extended to many other mantras. Extending a part belonging to another branch is very common to Vedic ritualistic approach. And this we do in Karmanga Upasanas also. This is common to Purva Mimamsa also. And why this cannot be done in our case is the argument of Vyasa. It is common to Purva Mimamsa also. Why cannot be done here? In the Vedic ritualistic literature, there is a portion called Maitrayaniya Samhita Prayoga Sutrani. This Maitrayani is a shaka. And these are all set of sutras which talk about the method of performing rituals. And there are many rituals where priests prepare various offerings, materials, baking rice, etc. as the games. We Purodasa and all that we saw earlier. He grinds the rice to prepare this Purodasa to offer in the fire. And before grinding the rice, he has to take a grinding stone. For everything there are mantras. For taking the stone, we have to chant a particular mantra. And this is called Ashma Mathana Mantra. Ashma is stone. For making the stone, for grinding the rice and all that. So this is given in the above sutra. And this Prayoga Sutra, it mentions two sutras and it is said that the priest can chant any of the mantras when he does this at the time of taking the ashma means the stone. And one mantra is kutaha purasiti asmadhana mantra. That is one of them, asmadhana. And the other mantra is kukutaha asi iti ashmanam adatte kuta rurasti purasiti iva. Kutaha purasiti iva. So one of the two mantras must be chanted. Any one of the mantras can be chanted. Naturally, the priest will look for the mantra. And since it is in the Maitrayaniya Samhita Prayoga Sutrani, Samhita Prayoga Sutrani, and this shaka is also in Yajurveda only. It's an Yajurveda shaka, Maitrayani. I told there were 101 shakas. Maitrayani is one of them in Yajurveda. So the priest looks for the mantra in the above Samhita, and he is able to find only one mantra. It is also said that it occurs in 1.1.6 of that particular Samhita, where the Kukkutaha Asi mantra is there, which I just read. As an option, the other mantra is not there in the above shaka. And therefore, Shankaracharya argues, from this it is clear that the Kutarurasti mantra, Kutarurasti, that mantra occurs in some other branch of the same Veda. So two mantras occurring in two different branches can be used in two different samhitas. So this particular mantra is not there in the above samhita, Maitrayaniya Samhita. He uses a mantra from another shaka. Therefore, what is the conclusion? There is no restriction that a portion applied for a particular ritual has to be done in that shaka only and can be extended to other shaka rituals also. Let us give, there is another example also Shankara gives in his Bhashyam in support of our argument. There is another mantra occurring in the above samhita itself, the Maitrayaniya. So ritavo vai prayajaha samantara potavyaha. That is a mantra. This mantra says that prayaja is a subsidiary ritual. Prayasa yaga, prayaja yaga is a subsidiary ritual, substitute homa, consisting of 5 oblations. And this is an anga homa, subsidiary ritual only, a part of the darsha purnamasa yaga. So yagas are yagni, nityagni hotram, then all the purnamasa ishti, darsha ishti, there are various Dasha Purnamasi, Yajnas are all there, regular rituals, Agnihotris. They are Vedokta mantras, Vedokta rituals. So it is an Anga ritual. So this Prayaja Homa is mentioned in that thing, in that place, in that context. In the above branches it is mentioned, but it does not mention the 5 oblation details. Now how do you know how many oblations are there? It doesn't mention the details. And this can be solved only when you study the Dasha Purva Yajna mentioned in another Samhita, where the details are given. So the very fact that the detail is missing in one shaka and taken to another shaka makes it clear that such interchange can be done if the yaga is one and the same. Similarly, the Udgita mantra can be taken to another Samaveda Upasana. I have sat in some of these Agnihotri Satas and all, where all these discussions are dealt with in great detail. There will be so much of discussion about this can be used there or not. I witnessed all that myself in a few times. Hence, there is no contradiction in this particular context at all, is the conclusion of Vyasacharya. Previous sutra said that the Sannadhi Virodha is overpowered. And here it is said Sannadhi Virodha itself is not there. Now we will do the word analysis briefly. Va means moreover. Avirodha. Avirodha means there is no improperness. Avirodha, mantra divate, as in the case of the mantra and all that. This is the word meaning. Now we will give the significance of the words. Avirodha means there is no sannidhi virodha, sthana virodha, as in the case of the ritualistic portions. Mantra divate, as in the case of the mantras. The mantras kept in the mind as indicated in the preceding paragraph, all those Maitrayani mantra and all that thing that we just mentioned. Adi. Adi means prayaja homa is the example. That was just mentioned in this particular context. This Prayaja Homa is the example. So one shaka can be extended to another shaka also for sake of clarity and also adoption. That is the conclusion that Vyasacharya makes. With this Adhikaranam is over. Let us go to the next Adhikaranam in the next class. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Pratitilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Om Sri Krishna.